When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Get together with the crew. Russ, the biggest draft Nick I know, will be there with me, and we will break things down, have an opportunity for you to call in and make some picks throughout the morning tomorrow. But before that, we got a busy one. We'll kick it off in Las Vegas. No, not with our man Mike Palm. Ken Miller, my co-host, is there right now. We'll talk with Ken about everything happening in Las Vegas at Circa. That's coming up here in just a moment. Scott Dockerman also is going to stop by. A breakdown of what he saw at the Iowa Spring game over the weekend. That comes to you at the bottom of the hour. 12 o'clock hour begins with Matt Snyder from CBS, our weekly conversation with Matt and everything going on in the world of Major League Baseball. Then 12:30, we turn our attention to the Cyclones and their spring football game with Alec Bussey. But we go to Las Vegas. Incredibly jealous, incredibly disappointed that I'm not there with him. He is Ken Miller. Cam, what's going on?
Nothing, Trent. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Busy weekend. 7 softball games. Didn't get a whole lot of sports viewing. But
get a win.
We got a win. We got our first ever win after we ran the losing streak to 18 consecutive. We finally put one in the win column yesterday morning, the early game, 8 a.m., and we got the win 7-6, and we're off the schneid. We're off and running now, and got win number one and a lot of smiles on the faces of the girls, and that was the most important thing.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good. Glad you're doing it. It was great to be able to be out there with your daughter and, you know, and to finally let them or finally give them an opportunity to feel like to be on the winning side.
Yes.
As you mentioned, 18 in a row. Yikes.
You're
not cut out for managing.
I don't think so. We're getting better, though, and that's the most important thing. The girls are having fun, and we're getting better each and every time out there, and we'll keep chugging along, and we've qualified for the state tournament, so we're good to go. Get that first victory, and we're going to be at state here in a couple of months, but a lot of softball before that, and we got a lot to talk about. So I want to begin with you. You're out there. You're at Circa, and your team's playing last night. And you say, we very rarely, but when it comes to the Winnipeg Jets, that's obviously your we. I'm sure you were in the sports book. I'm sure you were sitting there and just watching your squad on the beautiful big screens there at the biggest sports book in the world. Take us in a little bit of being there and having that, not for a baseball game, not even for a football game. You've been there plenty of times for the past, but there for your team and watching the Jets last night.
Yeah, I think that was a first, Trent. I don't recall. I mean, maybe I have. I certainly haven't at Circa. Sat down and watched a playoff game that features the team that I grew up loving and will do so till my final breaths. But it was amazing. It really was. I watch people in the books all the time. I mean, I love to people watch. And as many nights as I spent out here by myself, that's what I normally would do, right? I would go and just sit down and have a couple of beers and just watch the fans or watch the bettors. But it was really different because I was nervous as hell because Nathan MacKinnon is a Colorado Avalanche and he is unworldly. He's otherworldly is what he is. He is such a good hockey player. But just watching the building and seeing what it looked like on TV, and it's the smallest arena in the NHL by significant margin. But the fans are right on you, and it's really, really loud, and they love their team, and they love the sport, and they all dress in white, which kind of is ridiculous now because they wear their dark uniforms. But at the time when it was created, the home team wore white jerseys. But, you know, just the back and forth of the game to have Colorado come out and take a 1-0 lead, and then the Jets tie it, and it's back and forth. Jets open up 3. Here come the Lanch and MacKinnon and Makar. It was really, really fun. And I'll tell you, I was glad when the final horn went off because Colorado was just kept pushing and pushing and pushing. And I mean, 7-6, I didn't see that coming. I mean, Winnipeg is a really good defensive team. But you know what? A win's a win. They're one closer to knocking out the Lanch, and this isn't going to be easy. But it was a blast just watching it last night and listening to the, I don't know if it was people that had bet on the Jets, but believe it or not, there was a round of applause when the game ended. And, you know, seeing some folks in Jets gear, and of course gave me an opportunity to go up and talk to my people, right. You know, complete strangers, but just to talk about, you know, where you're from and where'd you grow up. And it was good. I'm glad I did it. And more so, I'm glad the Jets won, but I had a ball last night. And then my son was sitting right beside me, which even made it more special.
You'll get four hockey games coming up this evening, so that'll be action-packed. But, you know, overall, just on the outside, kind of looking in, as I mentioned, I watched a lot of the Timberwolves the second half of that one as they pulled away and got this win against the Suns on Saturday. That was most of my viewing. Watched a little bit of the Knicks and Sixers, but it was home teams ruled. And I don't know if there's ever been a weekend where we open up the NHL and NBA playoffs and every home team wins. There was one dog in there, a couple other very close to pick 'em games, but very chalky in the first games here. Zigzag theory, if you're a believer here, there's going to be some money-making opportunities over the next three nights.
No, I think you're 100% right, Trent. And yeah, that was one of the stories from the, you know, that was resonating through the book, is all the favorites and all the home teams that in both of the winter sports and playoff-wise. I think the one dog that won was the Mavericks went down to the Clippers, and there were some boring games, quite honestly, especially in basketball. I mean, the hockey was decent, and I love Southwest. I mean, boy, did the flight ever go quickly, watching the Rangers and the Capitals when you lift off, and by the time you touch down, there's a, you know, the next game is about to drop the puck. I love the televisions on Southwest. By the way, every single seat on the plane was filled.
Really?
Leaving Des Moines to Las Vegas. It wasn't an empty seat on the plane, which I don't know. I don't know where they're going, but I don't know what's going on in Vegas. But and I know that it's not McCarran anymore. It's Harry Reid. It's a hub. But I was just blown away that, you know, no seats. Everybody all buzzing, bulk heading out to Vegas. But yeah, that was pretty cool. But you know, just back to the games themselves. Hopefully tonight will be different, right? I have to believe that it will, because as you mentioned, you just don't see the home teams dominating the way that they do.
Compelling series with the Sixers and Knicks, just because kind of the name brands associated with it, the cities, and that will make that one I think pretty good and get, I'm sure, some good TV numbers. And then we get the Lakers tonight, and that's another thing. For people that haven't been out there, I told you before, for years and years after college, our stop out of our crew, as we go out there Memorial Day weekend. So it was a lot of later in the NBA playoffs, Indy 500 hit that one year. Oh, that was a big one. Able to hit, I think it was like a 25-1 shot. I just happened to hear the guy that won it on a radio interview as I was driving to the airport. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll throw $20 on him. And he comes home and was the winner in that one. But, you know, overall, it's NBA playoffs, as it pertains to the Lakers, that is a Lakers town in the biggest way.
Yeah.
And the amount of Laker fans you're going to see there this evening, that's going to make the book really fun for a Monday night.
It is. And on top of that, the Golden Knights are on the road. And,
if
you think back to last year, Circa hosts the watch party. So Stadium Swim will just be mobbed. And you're right about being a Lakers town. I mean, every book throughout the city, guys in their Laker gear, gals in their Laker gear. It's always been an L.A. town, specifically the Lakers and the Dodgers. Those are the two teams that really move the needle out here and still do, even though there's pro teams out here in the market, but not a basketball team, obviously, although sounds like that might be on the horizon for Las Vegas. But, yeah, it's there'll be Laker fans everywhere you look tonight and Golden Knight fans everywhere you look tonight.
You know that? Help us out. You lived in Vegas, obviously, for a number of years. You still get out there a lot. Your son now lives there, Kale. How did they gain such a stranglehold? I know the right away being good, that definitely helped things, but was it them being the first professional team there, the ability to kind of get their hooks into people and to finally have something professionally their own? What is it that this is? I'm every time I'm there, I am absolutely shocked of the number of people that are, it's hockey in the desert. We've seen hockey in the desert. That's not going to be there any longer in Phoenix. It's something that you think shouldn't work. Why has it worked in your mind?
Because they were the first, and the Raiders weren't here yet, and there was no thoughts of getting baseball. I mean, you had UNLV, and that was it, right? But they came and they reached out to the community. They did a terrific job. They got corporate involved, and the properties were looking to, you know, to direct some of their marketing dollars towards something like this, to buy a suite where they could entertain the high rollers, because, you know, when the high rollers come to town and you're looking to do something unique for them, you can only buy them so many steak dinners and let them have an open bar, right?
Yeah.
And give them a nice room. But corporate got involved. That was huge. They were fighting over you know, spots on the boards, and they want to, they're throwing money at the club to do this and that and try to get in front of, you know, the competition out there. But then they were good right off the bat. I mean, they played for a Stanley Cup in their first year. As much as it pains me to say that, you mean you think that they would have to pay their dues, right?
Right.
And stink for a few years, but they know, they jumped right out. There were a bunch of misfits, guys that were cast off, that were left exposed in the expansion draft, that the team that they were playing for didn't want anymore. And they came together and they just blended, and the community supported them right from the jump. And to this day, it's an experience. I mean, I've seen a lot of hockey games in a lot of cities, NHL cities over my life, but I've never seen anything like this. The way the Golden Knights and the presentation of how they, you know, put an NHL product on the ice, the pregame stuff, the between whistle stuff. There's seldom a dull moment. I mean, it's overkill for me, but the people out here just eat it up.
It's amazing. It really is. And if you haven't seen it, haven't been to Vegas in a while, it's something that definitely kind of changes the equation. And yeah, they got the Raiders now, but it's not just their team. And I think that's a reason for it. It's a really
right.
cool scene.
Yep.
And Circa tonight, I'm looking forward to seeing the social media and all the posts up of all the people going crazy out there at Stadium Swim. It'll be a great time. It always is out there. You get to sneak out to Stadium Swim?
Maybe. I mean, depends. I don't know. If we might. If my son wants to, we will. But, you know, he works here, right?
Right, so yeah.
We'll be here for a lot of it. But I hate to have him come to work on his off day.
Sure.
Like he did last night. But, you know, he doesn't mind because he gets to spend time with dad. At least
right.
I hope that's the case. But yeah, it's going to be a madhouse trend. It's going to be fun. And it's yours and mine. It's right up our alley, right?
Yes.
We love this stuff. We can't get enough of it. I know it's not for everybody, but this is going to be a crazy place tonight on a Monday night toward the end of April.
All right, let's localize things now. Let's go to what we at least saw in a couple of clips that we saw from spring games over the weekend. Let's start first with the Clones and a day where we didn't get to see Brody Becht. He wasn't out there. No Abu Sama, no Jalen Higgins, no Jalen Knoll. We didn't get to see some of the stars, at least offensively, out there. J.J. Cole got a lot of the work, 6 of 8 passing, 38 yards, also ran for 14. I guess maybe the story of the day was an early enrollee at the running back position. How many carries are there going to be for him? But Dylan Lee was, I guess, kind of the spotlight guy, the kid out of Arizona.
Yeah, that and the kicker.
Right.
A walk-on kicker that I didn't even know was on the roster. I think his last name starts with a K. But yeah, he was really good. The walk-on, as you mentioned. Rocco Beck didn't play at all. It was the story of the backup quarterbacks, as you would expect. But look, at the end of the day, I think the defense is going to be good for Iowa State. I do. I think they're really deep on the defensive front, which you can't have enough defensive linemen. Linebackers are going to be fine. They got great skill players. At both running back and at the receiver, can you block? Can you keep Rocco Becht upright? Apparently, he had a really good spring listening to people that, you know, some people that were able to go and watch practice. He looked good, as one would anticipate. And now it's you just sit back and hope that J.J. Cole is comfortable with his spot, because I don't think, you know, even there's an opportunity for him to start. He had that opportunity last year. Beck beat him out, and it looks as though he's firmly entrenched as the starter this year. But yeah, the running back was one of the stories, and certainly the kicker.
New name that came in was Kennard Snyder, is a name that I don't remember us talking about. Hadn't heard a whole lot.
I think Bussy brought him up, Trent, last week. That was one of Bussy's guys.
So comes in from ULM, from Louisiana Monroe, and just one of those kind of more under-the-radar guys. What's it going to be? An edge rusher? Yeah, definitely need those, and you need depth at that position. That was a good one to see, and that's kind of where we are, because we know the stars. We know the starters. We know this team so well. You mentioned kicker, obviously always a huge, huge component. Gambardi is the name of the kid from Dubuque Senior, the walk-on, that was able to hit it. But, 4 field goals of 40 yards, I believe it was, in the game. And you couple that.
And into the wind.
Into the wind in a very windy day at Jack Trice Stadium. Not a surprise on that one, in a windy one there. But you go through. You know, one thing I do wonder about, as we're coming now towards the end, the final week of the transfer portal, you know, the position, like, the safety position. You know, if there are guys that are looking to move, they're just so deep in so many of those defensive positions, something that is a great luxury to have, but you got to feel there's going to be a couple of guys that say, hey, not only am I not going to play this year, I might be looking at 2-3 years down the line before there's going to be any realistic snaps there for me.
No, I agree with you 100%. And you know, the top of my list is I'm going to watch J.J. Cole because he came in as a much-heralded recruit. He battled, and he lost to Rocco Becht, and now Mobley's there.
Right.
And he's right behind him. And, you know, the early reports on him are certainly encouraging. So, yeah, that with the transfer portal trend, I think this next couple of days, and Bussey would certainly be able to, you know, shed more light on it than I can. I think it's going to be active. You know, but it works both ways. When guys are leaving, is Campbell and the staff looking to, you know, fortify a different position? Is there one that they think they need more depth on? So, and that's going to be all around the country, obviously, with guys coming and going. But you're 100% right. It's now is the time, and it's going to be a busy week in that world.
12:30, Alec Bussey will join us. We'll get a little more insight into all of that. And sounded like, at least according to the recruiting websites, another pretty good recruiting weekend for T.J. Otzelberger at this moment. I haven't seen anything with Joshua Jefferson, the St. Mary's transfer, but he visited this weekend and said he got a good feel about what it is. 6'9 kid, averaged 10 points, 6.5 rebounds a season ago. Hey, another depth piece in that front court. That's a pretty good one if they can nab him.
No, absolutely, Trent. I mean, that's the kid we brought up last week briefly at some point. I don't know if TJ, if they think that they feel pretty good about getting him or not, but I saw another way too early list this morning. One of the lists that you follow when it comes to handicapping has Iowa State number one ahead of Duke next year.
Wow.
Number one. Yes. What's the service that you talk about all the time? Not a handicap, not a game picker, but one of the analytical sites.
Bart Torvik?
Yeah, that's what it is. I'm pretty sure it's Torvik. Torvik's rankings came out, and Iowa State's number one for next year. I mean, this is rarefied air for this team, and you can understand. I mean, look at the roster, for crying out loud. Look at the success that they've had. This might be a special time for the Iowa State men next year.
It really feels like it's setting up.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah,
we talked about
way off.
Yeah, the first year, I guess it would have been, right, of Prohm when he came in with a great team, and they were preseason top 10 that
team. Yeah.
But it was such a weird offseason. You know, there was so much angst about Fred leaving, going another coach heading to the Bulls. This is going to be a disaster, and it was with the Bulls. But it was because Fred Hoiberg also, I mean, it was more than just a coach, right? There's just so much.
Right, he's one of theirs.
Yeah, DNA built in, and he's never going to leave us, and then he does. There was so much that went in. Why did he really leave? We had those stories that were out there, the rumblings, the sleeping on a hotel floor,
did
all the
Pollard
different things.
Do enough?
Yes, yeah, all those things that were there. And it led to probably not the same kind of buzz for a preseason top 10 team that you normally have. You didn't know what Prohm was going to be, what kind of coach he was going to be. There was so much different. This, we know Watts, we know this team, we know the improvements that they made offensively and what they're going to be on the defensive end. I don't think it's hyperbolic to say that this is going to be the most probably preseason buzz for an Iowa State basketball team, certainly in our lifetimes. I don't think that is crazy to say.
No, I'm with you. I mean, and look at the conference. I mean, Arizona joins. Kansas gets. Look what Self is doing. I mean, the NIL that they must have to throw at recruits. Look at Houston.
Yeah.
In a conference that's going to be just an absolute juggernaut like it was this year again. And Iowa State's up there in the rarefied air. Torvik's got him number one overall, mentioned amongst the blue bloods in college. It's great to see. It really is. Well done, TJ.
Let's get over to the Hawkeyes next and their spring game. Of course, no Cade McNamara. And the clip that went viral was him doing the zone read play and limping around out there. Boy, he looked brutal.
He did, Trent. I'm surprised that clip saw the light of day, because if this is the guy that's supposed to be back in June, and fingers crossed he is, because boy, oh boy, oh boy, does this program ever need Cade McNamara to come close to the hype that falls on his shoulders. But yeah, that clip, I mean, I felt bad for his left knee. I really did. It looked like he was in pain. Was it left or right? Whatever. It looked like he was in pain when he tried to run to the left there, but you're right. And then the QBs did their thing, and Lines can really run, but he really struggles to hill or to throw the ball. And Deacon's Deacon after all, and he looks like the same old Deacon.
Are we going to be left kind of wondering? Remember the 2 days, Ty Thompson, the Oregon transfer. He was interested in Iowa. Iowa seemed to be interested in him, and then very quickly it kind of fell apart and he ended up at Tulane. If they don't get somebody, they don't have to be impactful, but somebody that at minimum is your backup quarterback in the portal here in the next week. I mean, is that going to be one of those kind of great misses that we're going to be talking about really throughout the summer months? Because if they go out there and get another Deacon Hill-like guy, you know, a third teamer, maybe from a power program or a backup that's never played even at a group of five program, something like that, to say, what were they doing? And they had a guy that could come in and at minimum compete with McNamara, and they didn't do it. I think that's going to be one of the what-ifs if they don't get somebody here in the next couple of days.
No, I agree with you. And look, the bar's not set real high, right? No. It's not like you're going to have to go out and play amazing football to outshine the two guys that are already there. Maybe Lines is going to be the guy down the road. I don't think so. I mean, if you can't throw the ball and it's your second year in the program, when's that light ever going to go on? But yes, Trent, they absolutely have. They need a backup quarterback more than they need a wide receiver, in my opinion. And we know that they need some help there. But if you don't have a backup, and you're dealing with Cade McNamara, and you hate to say it, but the anchor that he drags around is his injuries, and he just can't make it through a year. And we saw with our own two eyes what he looked like on April the 20th, and she looked nowhere near being able to ready to play. The good news is he doesn't have to play for 5 months, but man, oh man, it's been a long time since we've seen him make it through a year and do so on a healthy basis.
So Iowa picked up a commitment of their own over the weekend. Cade Beaurude, a local kid here from Southeast Polk. He was up at North Dakota last season, was a freshman All-American for them. Kind of feels like potentially one of those guys that the rusty fest spot, but he's got a lot more eligibility. Depth of the offensive line, never a problem, but it's another interior guy. Mason Richmond better have it this year, right? We better see Mason Richmond make a huge improvement from a year ago, where I think we're going to be having a lot of the same conversations. I think there was enough where you can get excited. Yes, this is a new offense. I've been screaming it since they hired Tim Lesner that this is going to be different because they all have been different under every offensive coordinator. But I guess maybe people getting their eyeballs on it a little bit made them believe, yes, this is going to, they're at least going to try to be different now.
Yeah, and that's, I like some of their parts, Trent. I do. I mean, they're stacked at the running back position. That'll be a position to watch here in the next day or two to see if there's any news coming from that, because there's only so many carries to go around, right? And we'll see how that depth chart shakes out after spring ball. The tight ends, by all accounts, Lachey looked as though he hasn't missed a beat, like he's fully recovered. So that's good. But it's the quarterback position. You know, is McNamara going to be ready? And is he going to be able to do the things that we saw him do earlier in his career at Michigan? I mean, when they got Cade McNamara, you got something here. But right now, you got damaged goods with him not being able to play. So this is an important next few days, because I keep coming back to it. Yep, they've got the parts, but man, they need somebody, because history dictates Cade McNamara is not going to be able to get through it.
Yeah, it's a tough place to be. A very tough place to be. Hearing and reading a couple of things that Brad Heinrichs, the head of the Iowa Swarm Collective, has put up on both social media and on the message boards. They're shopping. They know that they need a backup. The coaching staff understands they need that they can't go into a season. You know, there's just so much negativity around Deacon Hill, too. I think we understand that, yes, he's getting the one reps. And I really do like what they're doing with Lines, giving him both the number two and number three reps, meaning he gets more reps, right? He's got more opportunity because of getting more reps in that kind of spot. But you just can't go into a season with Deacon Hill as your backup, because there's so much negativity around him.
No, I mean, how does the offense feel when Deacon runs out onto the field, right? I can't do it to him. Can't do it to him.
Well, with that, one final thing. Are you betting on anything this evening? You got any?
No, we're going to play horses this afternoon. For the Superbook. Haven't been there in a long, long time. So we're going to go sit at the Superbook and play some horses. But not betting on any sports. I'm in a great spot with a lot of futures. I think I've been there before. I come up empty, but No, I'm just gonna watch some games, bet some horses this afternoon, have dinner with my son, and jump on the plane tomorrow and come home.
You don't play any table games ever, right?
No, never, never. I never pulled a handle in my life. I pulled a slot machine.
Wow.
I think it's mindless. I don't understand it, quite frankly. And I'm not gonna, you know, put my money on a roll of the dice or, you know, I like to try and figure out the puzzle, right? Uh-huh. The puzzle of who's going to win a horse race. That to me is always move my needle, so that's what I'm going to do. But no, I don't play poker. I don't play blackjack. Never played the slots. That stuff's not for me.
Have you ever played blackjack? Were you ever a poker player? Anything like that?
No. Never. Never. Nope, not into it.
All about those horses.
Yeah, it is for me. And there's fewer and fewer places in Las Vegas to bet on horses now anymore. Right. The properties all figure out, we don't need this. We'll put some slot machines here. We'll make more money. Yeah. So that's sadly the way it's going.
Well, with that, say hi to the whole crew out there at Circa. As you see people bouncing around, make sure to pass along my condolences that I can't be there. I'm very sad. I'm very jealous. But
well, you'll be here. We'll be back here in July for Big 12 Media Day.
We will be. Hopefully we'll have some of our listeners that'll come out there, a few other people. Yeah. It'll be a great time. A lot of media members. We're going to maybe put something together and invite some people together to hang out at Circa for a night and watch a little ball, have some fun out there. And we know there's going to be, I'm going to guess, a lot of Iowa State media that maybe in the past. And not sure about going to Dallas. This one's where you're tugging at that boss a little bit more. You know, I really think we can get some good information if I get to Vegas this year.
Yeah, you have to be there because you just can't watch it on TV like we did when the event was in Dallas. I mean, it was okay to do in Dallas, but in Vegas, you actually have to be there. Yeah, I'm guessing that'll be the case, Trent. Not only Iowa State media, but the media from the entire conference. Why wouldn't you?
Right. It's a great place, no doubt about it. Hey,
it is.
Ken, enjoy your time there. Say hi to Kale for me, and we will talk to you again on Wednesday when you're back in studio.
All right, have fun with your mock draft tomorrow.
Thank you. Appreciate it. That is Ken Miller checking in from the road in Las Vegas. He is at Circa for the next couple of days. He'll be back with us on Wednesday. And as Ken mentioned, coming up on tomorrow's program, it will be our yearly annual event, the KXNO Mock Draft. We'll do it from 11 to 1 tomorrow. Myself, Russ Carew, and everybody with Graphite Construction Group will give an opportunity for you to call in a couple of different times, make your picks. If you got a favorite team, you want to make the pick as we get closer and closer to it, we'll open up the phone lines for you and get you set up for that one tomorrow from 11 to 1. Right now, here we go. It's Happy. Happy at KXNO.com. Your chance to win $1,000. KXNO.com. Enter the keyword happy for your chance to win. We continue the spring football talk. Guy that was there in person, he is Scott Dockerman from The Athletic. He'll join us next. A breakdown of what he saw on the field at Kinnick Stadium on Saturday. Spring football talk on the Hawkeye front with Doc next. Coming up in the 12 o'clock hour, 12:30, Alec Bussey will do the same for the Cyclones. We're taking you up until 1. It's Miller and Condon on our way on a Monday on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. You hear that 80s music, that means one thing. It's time to talk to Doc. Scott Dockerman joins us from The Athletic on a Monday as we recap what we saw, what he saw at Kinnick Stadium over the weekend as Iowa had their final practice of the spring, and we will see them again in August for Kids Day before their first game against Illinois State in September. Doc, as always, appreciate your time. How are you, and did you get all warmed up after a chilly day over at Kinnick Stadium?
Yeah, I just decided to go ahead and stay in the press box for most of it because that way I could see it with my binoculars over the top and I could see how the motions are impacting the play. Mm-hmm. So I had the kind of the bird's eye view, as they say.
Not a bad thing. I know you do a lot of charting, kind of seeing those kind of things, and you've seen it. I've seen it. I've been screaming about it since Tim Lester took the job. This is going to be a different offense. Every offensive coordinator has had a different offense, even if you don't want to believe it. How different was it to you seeing it and knowing they're still working, they're still implementing, but how different is this going to be when we get to September, when we get to that first game and, you know, a lot of the national media probably see in Iowa for the first time and the offensive scheme? How different is it going to look?
It's significantly different. And I know a lot of fans, I had to try to explain to them on some of my comments under my story that they don't believe it's going to change because, well, it's Kirk Ferentz and it's not going to change. No, it's changed. It's completely different. And there's a lot more motion. There's a lot, the patterns are different. I would say the spacing is different among the routes. It's one practice. They're not going to go too detailed in so many different areas, but you could just see that the layout is so much different than what it once was. And so will people recognize it? I don't know. I mean, I think it really matters about, you know, what kind of success are they going to have. If they score 17 points and run for 110 yards and complete half their passes, then people are going to think it's the same old Iowa offense, even though it's completely different. But I think what I saw enough of, both in practice and then kind of what I was told, was, look, this is it's really helpful to our running game first. And because the passing game is not anywhere near where it needs to be or is or should be, I think you could spot some differences, some challenges for the defense just in trying to guess where the ball is going to go and how it's going to get there.
You know, one of the most disappointing aspects I thought of last season, we saw the run game make improvement. They got better, but a lot of that was LeSean Williams. Caleb Johnson, I thought, was on his way to superstardom, and it didn't click last season for him. A little bit banged up. We've heard those kind of things, but I heard some good things about the new style of offense and how it kind of works with his skill set. What you saw from Caleb Johnson and his chance, we know LeSean's going to be there. He's going to be doing things, good things out of Moulton, too, at the number three running back position. But Caleb Johnson, a chance at a breakout with this kind of offensive system for him.
It's possible, and the reason why I say that is because what this offense does with its motion is it forces conflict at the second level, whereas before Iowa had its best attribute or best unique attribute in the zone scheme taken away from it legislatively because of no more cut blocking. And the opponents were just beating them to where they thought the ball was going to go because that's where it always goes. Well, in this case, that with motion and even and with some more zone reads, or I mean some more jet sweeps and jet sweep action to it, it forces that conflict to the second level, which means Caleb Johnson can get to the line of scrimmage without facing another colored jersey. And if he could do that and hit the hole, He's got an opportunity to do a lot of really good things there with a head of steam because he is a big physical back. He's got great speed, and now he's learning how to run with the ball a little bit better, you know, inflict pain at the end of the runs. I think those are the things that I see from him that are going to make him so much better. Even if the line is not full of superstars, the thing that they're getting with this, Trent, is that by the second level being held a little bit longer in conflict by the motion, that they can get to their spots quicker too. And that allows them to block instead of kind of being blocking almost like a quarter of a human being, that they can get to a half to two thirds of a human being. And that's really going to change the dynamic of the running game and allow Caleb Johnson to do what he does well.
I really enjoyed listening to Tim Lester. I get a kick out of him. I think he's a fun guy. I think he's a guy that understands what Iowa wants to do and what Kirk wants to do, but doing it a different way. He said something interesting I wanted to pick your brain on, though. He said he was talking about the run game. He said they still have some things to clean up on the back end. Is that talking probably about the outside zone plays, something that is basically kind of ripped out of the playbook a year ago? Is that what he was talking about when he was talking about cleaning up some things on the back end?
Yeah, there are a lot of different areas. I would say the back end could mean everything from the quarterback to the backside. You know, and again, when you're running stretch and you're running out towards an area, you've got to figure out what are the guard, center, and tackle, even tight end on the backside. How are they going to be able to get to reach those blocks? And that's something that every coach who runs zone worries about. And again, you know, in the past, what Iowa would do is just cut the person, and they could usually cut them without clipping them. But now pretty much everything's being called a clip, so you just can't do it anymore. So now it's, so I think that's probably the cleanup. That's something that will take time. It just takes repetition, and we won't perfect it until probably October if you get there, but you can try to get it almost all the way there in August.
So a couple of injuries, or at least guys that weren't out there. Jamari Harris, no surprise, a guy that's had some injuries throughout the course of his career, not out there at the cornerback spot. Saw a lot of John Nestor and T.J. Hall. And, you know, it's so interesting. T.J. Hall, he was the more highly regarded recruit coming out over Deshaun Lee, but he's been banged up himself throughout the course of his season. This is a guy with good size. Not many times Iowa beats in Washington and Michigan for a recruit out of California, and yet they did. A healthy T.J. Hall along with Nestor, kind of exciting the depth that feels like they're building a cornerback.
With a healthy Jamari Harris, they should have four cornerbacks that they feel really good about this year. And that includes Nestor, Hall, and Lee. I mean, Lee saw the most action of the three last year. Hall was the second teamer 2 years ago as a true freshman, and he redshirted last year. And Nestor has been the one that's really taken the jump forward. A lot of comparisons, Riley Moss has been the one that's really been bandied about the most. And he's also working kind of as that number two cash right now as well. So they do like the way that the depth is coming together, and that's really – you know, important, and hopefully for Iowa's sake that they all remain patient, even if one of them gets the start and the other two will be right there. You know, whether it's this year, I mean, playing special teams, playing sub packages, you know, injuries, there's something that always happens. So I think this is something that, that's what they really needed, because, you know, traditionally we just kind of look and say, oh, they need to go in the portal and get somebody opposite Jamari Harris. Well, if these three play the way they expect them to, then they have no reason to do that.
There is still an opportunity to add to this roster. It's a scholarship crunch right now, though, for the Hawkeyes as they try to figure out exactly what it's going to look like, who's going to be entering the portal. You'd anticipate there might be a name or two here, certainly this week, as they have, what, 8 days before the portal closes again after they wrap up spring football. But backup quarterback, wide receiver, and defensive tackle, would those be maybe the three positions you're looking at minimum, just for some depth pieces?
I don't know that I would even look at defensive tackle right now. I mean, I think that they're at seven defensive linemen, and I know that's something that, yeah, they could probably use somebody there, but I think that's a position you can build somebody towards. It's like, well, unless you have an injury, you know, I think, you know, if you feel like you have, you know, Y.A. Black, Aaron Graves, Jeremiah Pittman, and then just somebody else to eat up snaps.
Yeah.
And I think you're okay. And that's a scholarship you don't want to really blow at that point. You know, maybe a Jeff Bowie comes through. You know, he was playing a lot the other day. But I think when you look at there's two positions that obviously need to be addressed. I think backup quarterback is number one, and you could probably leave two blank, you know, on that one, because it's not a situation where you can win championships with right now at quarterback. If Cade McNamara is healthy, stays healthy through the course of the year, and can play up to his ability, then yes, but he hasn't been able to do that, so you don't want to rely on that. You never know what the worst can happen. They do need a number two. I mean, their recruiting at that position has been atrocious, to say the least, over the last 5 or 6 years, and so I would expect them to hit the portal hard. Right now there's their quarterback that they're eyeing isn't quite there yet. A few out there that they kind of are looking at, and they know who they are, but they're just kind of waiting. And but once they get in the portal, I would assume that they would, you know, go guns blazing, because that's kind of what, you know, has been mentioned to me, not specific names, but you know, the money part of it for sure. And then wide receiver, they need another wide receiver. Jacob Bostic leaving was really hurtful for them, because they had just that, he was that guy that they thought could be a rotational guy, and they need an X, and they don't have one. So, you know, not that they'll have one, you know, because it's hard to get them in the portal, but I also expect them to be creative like they did with the Southeast Polk lineman, which is, get them in, figure it out, you know, maybe through the collective to make sure they stay on roster, and then move them to full scholarship maybe in the second semester.
Borud, I probably called, 15, maybe 20 of his games in high school. He is a road grader. He is just a huge man. His legs are, as a high school kid, about as big as I'd ever seen, and he's going to be a fun one. You know, rotational piece, we'll see scholarship-wise if something pops up for him, but I know he was excited, and talking to a few people in the SEP community, really excited about the opportunity there. And A lot of people, there's places that Bo Root could have gone and got a scholarship. Instead, he decided to walk on here and with hopes, I'm sure, of earning one down the line.
Yeah, and that's what you got to do. And that's what you can do in this era that's mm-hmm. different than before, because then you can go to your collective, and you don't want to do this throughout because it does kind of defeat its purpose in some ways, but be able to go to it and say, give him, you know, make sure he gets enough to where he can pay his tuition, rent, food, all that sort of thing, and then move him over at semester, which next year they'll have plenty of available scholarships. So yeah, I think he's a perfect guy, as you said, Trent. I mean, you know, right now their number one and number two centers are both seniors, and he'll be very competitive in that situation. Maybe he's a first teamer, maybe he's a second teamer, but it doesn't matter. You know, he'll have the opportunity to prove it.
Doc, I can't let you go without asking about special teams and especially the new punter. What'd you see from Reese Dakin?
I thought early on when I was watching him warm up, I'm like, wow, this guy's a lot like his predecessor, because he was clubbing a bunch of punts and knocking them out at like the 3 or the 5 yard line. And it was really a big, it was like, wow, this is, they were dying right there. And then on the other direction with the wind at his back, he was, you know, soaring. There was one that was like 70 some odd yards in the air, it's hard to, coming off the Torrey Taylor high for the last 4 years, it's really hard to look at somebody else and say, yeah, they're going to be just as good, because I think he'll be okay. But I'll tell you what, I was more impressed with Drew Stevens.
Wow.
He had a 56 yarder, and then he had a 51 yarder from the left hash. So, if he's got any residue from last year's benching late in the season, it's gone. He looks pretty good.
We know that's going to be important with Iowa football. Scott Dockerman from The Athletic joining us. Doc, as always, appreciate your time. We'll talk to you again next Monday. And what do you got coming up this week at The Athletic?
Well, we've got so far my story on Noah Shannon and the gambling situation should be out tomorrow, I think. Okay. Tomorrow or Wednesday at the latest. And then I'm on full NFL draft duty, the rest of the week. So a lot going on there. And then who knows? Got a new voice of on the broadcasting team for football, so we might have to write something about that.
No doubt about it, as the word came down today that old Pody, Ed Podolak, is going to be hanging it up, at least as it pertains to doing the color commentary inside the games, but still going to be doing some work in the pregame, and going to be also working with some podcasts with the university. An end of an era, and the only voice that I remember, he's been there for 42 years. I'm 44. That's the only voice that I certainly remember, and I know I'm not alone in that camp.
Yeah, I think before him was Forrest Evashevsky.
Wow.
With Jim Zabel way back when. And this is clearly an end of an era. And, and for Dolph, he's going to be on the – it's not going to be a whole lot longer for him either. So it'll be interesting to see which direction they go. I mean, most people expect a former player, and there are plenty of them, and I think there are a lot that the fans would resonate towards. So I'm anxious to see what kind of direction they go here.
Doc, appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, Trent. Have a good one.
Scott Dockerman joining us from The Athletic, as he does each and every Monday here on Miller and Condon. Speaking of that, a little speculation. Who are some of those names for the Iowa job that are going to be in the booth with Gary Dolphin coming up this season? We'll talk about that when we come back. Taking you up till 1 o'clock, this is Miller and Condon, 106.3 KXNO. Trent, kind of back with you, wrapping up hour number one. It's a solo edition, Miller and Condon, minus the Miller, as he is sunning and funning in LV, Las Vegas. He'll be back with us in studio on Wednesday. Well, as we wrapped up our conversation with Scott Dockerman, big news today as Ed Podolak is calling a career as the color analyst on Hawkeye Radio broadcast. Of course, you can hear all the games down the hall on 1040 WHO. And with that, the speculation begins of who should be the next in the role with Gary Dolphin up in the booth. And a lot of former players make a whole lot of sense. The one that jumped to mind first for me was certainly Dallas Clark. Lives in the state, has been around, has done a lot of things with the university. He's been involved in a bunch of different things. I think that was one that you could definitely see, well-spoken, makes a whole lot of sense. Anthony Heron has been in TV for a long time. Used to have Anthony on the show a bunch of times back in the day, and really like his insight and the way that he breaks games down. I think he would be excellent in that role. You want somebody a little bit, a guy that has that kind of background, has done on TV for a long time. I think Anthony Herron would be the best of the options because of his background. But what's still in front of him? What does he want to do? Does it take away his ability to maybe continue to move up the rung, if you will, and the ladder of a broadcaster as he does? A lot of names, Chuck Long, that's been out there, a few other ones, but it's going to be interesting. You know, it's a booth that had been together for a very long time. Dolphinetti together for the past 27 seasons, and before that, another 15 with Zabel and Ed Podolak on 1040 WHO. This could be a big one, though, and what they do and what direction they go. And we've seen this a lot where Learfield and the broadcast teams, they got to make a choice that they're going to go in a different type of direction of what they're going to do, get a little bit younger. Could be a potential there, and somebody certainly that wants to be involved at the university level. That's a big aspect of that one as well. Coming up, hour number two, we begin things talking baseball. Matt Snyder from CBS Sports in his normal Monday spot. And then we break down the Cyclone spring game with Alec Bussey. All coming up here, plus my plays of the day. We take you up until 1 o'clock. It's Miller and Condon on 106.3 KXNO.